Art of Molecule Podcast. Welcome to our Art of Molecule podcast from the 74th edition of the Locarno Film Festival. In this episode, we introduce you to a very promising and talented film director from Georgia, Elena Naveriani. Her latest film is called Wet Sand and world premiered at Locarno Film Festival. In Locarno, leading actor Gia Agumaba was awarded the Best Actor Prize for his starring role. Wet Sand is a film about a hidden love story in a village at the Georgian Black Sea with friendly people believing to know each other. But when details about the relationship surface, this small village shows that it is built on a web of lies. The director of the movie, Elena Naveriani, also lives in Switzerland. She is our guest in today's Art of Molecule podcast. It's so nice to have you on this podcast. We're going to talk about you and especially about your recent film, Wet Sand, which left quite an impression on the audience in Locarno, also on some of our students, on myself, who visited the Locarno Film Festival. It's about a love story, right? Or maybe two.
Thank you for having me. I'm really glad to share my, I don't know anything about the film, what you're interested. Yeah, it's about a love story. Definitely, it's a love story, and it's different love stories, I would say, in a film.
Now, the pace of the film is very slow, which makes it nice to watch and to dig into the story. As a viewer, you can take your time to get acquainted with your characters. It has a nice speed to it, and yet it's a sad movie, or am I wrong?
First of all, about the rhythm, yeah, it's a slow film, but I guess it's very relative because for me, it's not a slow film. But I guess it also takes, it's interesting what you're saying, that it's nice for some spectators, you take time to watch, but it's also somehow very suffocating for others because it somehow takes too long to say something. And it's interesting that we are kind of get used to this extremely fast storytelling. And which it's, of course, it's kind of a very different kind of cinema, but I find it that it's, for me, it's not slow. For me, it's something that it's, that's way how I proceed and how I kind of see also life goes on, you know, in terms of like interiority of the humans. For me, that's how it takes time. And another one, what you asked about the sadness. It's a sad story, yeah. Unfortunately, it's a sad story, but also that's what I see very often around us. So I think that also sadness, it's also part of us and it's part of the life, which I think we need to talk about it, as it's death also in a film. It's quite like how often that death comes back. And I mean, I like when things are on a table and things are talked and discussed, and because that's how we are constructed, and that's also part of our lives.
Foremost, a story about these two characters, Eliko and Amnon, who are elderly men in a very small village in the on the Georgian Black Sea, and they have had a secret, a hidden relationship, a love relationship for over two decades in this very tiny town. And all of a sudden, with the death of Eliko, with his apparent suicide, this story enters into the discussion and into the publicity, into the openness of this village. Tell me, why did you place this story in such a place, and why this story at all? How did this evolve?
First of all, the location and the place was very interesting for me. When we started to write the story, it was actually like an initial idea came from my brother. of like location when we met there together. It was somehow it was very interesting because place already was telling something very interesting, that you see the remains, you see the places, and you see some buildings that you feel that there are some stories that they are carrying and they have something to tell, but they don't have any more the somehow the space to tell anything, because they carry the history, they carry the story, but somehow they just vanished and they don't have anything to tell anymore because there is no perspective for them. So I think that these two things, which I found very interesting, that on a shore, on a side of the land, let's say, everything was kind of very stagnant, very, very stopped, and you had this sea which was in constant movement. And I found it, it was very interesting that how these two were kind of telling different stories, which is also a story of Eligo and Amnon and Moe and Fleshka, that something that it's kind of still moves, still kind of goes on, which is a sea for me. And you have this village itself on a land which is built by humans that are very, very narrow, and they kind of suffocate itself themselves, and also like there is nothing that moves on. So I think there was these two parts of the land and the sea were kind of also symbolically, I mean, I wouldn't say that really started from this, but as a feeling wise, as a kind of intuition, I found that was really the best place to tell this story. And I think that also why I wanted to tell this story was something very personal as well. I think that I also, the society that I grew up was very, you know, was telling me how to be, what to do, how to make it, that I couldn't be different, or they saw that I was different and I couldn't love whoever I wanted to love. And I had quite a lot of stories around me that people really couldn't live what they wanted. And I think it's also, as other in my other movies, I always try to tell some stories that are silent and are not really told out loud by some people, you know. And I think that Wet Sand for me was also somehow just giving the voice to, in this case, Eligo and Amnon, and also like others in a film, that they also speak, they also have a soul, they also have a place to exist. And also ending of the film, kind of it's this, that we have a right to exist in on the earth, you know. So it's somehow like a very personal story for me, and also some kind of homage of people who live this and people who experience these kind of lives.
The state of the art of Georgian society today as well, or is it more looking back to you?
Absolutely does, unfortunately. You know, it's very tough, like politically speaking, what is going on there. But I don't want to go deep in this because it's quite like a complex situation, but it does reflect. And I think it also, the creating this micro society in this in this village, was somehow there were a lot of events going on, that it's kind of chain of everyday life, what is happening today. It's quite actual, it's quite everyday life of the country, let's say it, with different levels, as a sound level, as a visually, as a stories, you know. There is kind of somehow we build it up, the today's Georgia, let's say it, in very, of course it's my perspective, I wouldn't say that that's objective, but it's way how I see and way what I think that it's really problematic over there.
Are especially from your,
so in Georgia we didn't show the film yet. So it was in Locarno, it was just a premiere, the first screening, and we're planning to show, and I'm really, really curious to kind of to know what the reactions are going to be. But outside, with the Georgian people who worked on the set, I think they already knew what was the story about, they already knew what was the film about, and they really engaged themselves. And they took a part in a film because they also had the same kind of worries. And it was not just a technical kind of crew. We just built it up. We also had a crew which was aware what we wanted to say with this film and what we wanted to achieve with this film somehow, like what story we wanted to tell. So it's with the Georgians so far, I had a very positive, I would say, or positive. I mean, it's not very, maybe the right word, but very... Yeah, kind of, they accepted story, let's say it. so far. And I think that from the other spectators that are not culturally linked or the territorially linked to Georgia, it's, I think I got quite interesting feedbacks. I mean, very often it's about, is it really like this? Is it like such a cruel society? If their language, what they say, how they say that, you know, they are very straightforward, kind of very, this dark humor. You know, these questions that it's kind of somehow shocking for some, maybe the West part of the Europe, let's say. And, but in general, it's all the opinions. It's quite interesting for me to hear because we see the film very differently.
In Geneva, where you used to study a couple of years ago, and then you move in, yeah, while you're more or less moving between Georgia and Switzerland throughout the year. That seems quite a challenge and interesting, particularly. How do you experience this? I mean, are those extremes for you where you live at?
I think it's quite extreme, yes. But I mean, I'm really grateful that I can go back because it's also, I'm still very connected to the base. I mean, everything what is happening there, it somehow fills up my life in Switzerland. And contrary also, when I'm there, there are some stuff that I kind of miss from Switzerland. But so far it's kind of well balanced. I think it's, as I said, like I come back in a peace somehow, you know, something it gives me a place to reflect on what I kind of live in Georgia, which is very, very, yeah, it's charged. It's somehow when I come back, it's really like, it's so many things to digest and so many things to reflect and think about. But it's interesting because I think that this separation and also like being far from home and being what is the home, it's also very interesting for me that I don't know where I belong to at all. So it's also it's also kind of the question that I always think about, that being far from home, but also after what is your home? It's, I don't know.
Now, I know asking an artist what is the message behind your work is always very delicate, but I'm still going to try talking about Wet Sand. What is your purpose as a director in this film? What are your goals?
For me, like there are, of course, different parts, but first thing, it's about kind of reconciliation with things, what is happening outside me. It's somehow for me, it's the filmmaking, it's a space where I can express, where I can somehow tell what it really bothers me a lot. But I never tried, or I mean, I'm trying not to give kind of, you know, exact mirroring of what is happening, because I'm very aware that way how I see things or way how each individual kind of perceives stuff is very different. I'm really trying to, I'm very respectful towards like a story when I write or when I make a film, but I always try to take a distance, even though it's something that it comes from me, right? I still kind of like to give a distance to the audience that they also make their own way of kind of perceiving the story, and they also understand their own way what is suggested in a film. Of course, it's like in one hand, it's a suggestion, which kind of strong position, which is my position, because it's, as I said, for me, it's giving the voice, it's giving somehow like putting the soul into something that I somehow kind of try to find in a society around me, you know, try around me some stuff that I miss, I kind of even the stories to watch or read or... It's kind of tool for me to give it somehow hope and also somehow try to change tiny stuff, you know, which I believe that it has a power. I mean, I think that cinema has a tiny bit of kind of strength to the power to change things in a, you know, inside of the human. And a part of this, I feel that, and I would like that my, how I see like my work is, it's kind of activism. I cannot be like there are different kind of activism. And I think that for me, this filmmaking, for me, it's activism. And I'm going to stop when I will feel that I cannot really, you know, there is nothing to say from me. It's not just the art. I don't see like this. And I cannot stand in the street. I don't have enough courage, maybe, or I don't have enough, you know, the tools to be next to others who are really fighting in the outside. And that's the kind of bit more privileged and more peaceful, I would say, way of activism. But I really trying to put everything what it's kind of boils inside me into it, and to give some kind of, you know, hope that it's possible.
Your story in the film is about a relationship between these two men, elder men, for over two decades. It is hidden. It has to be hidden for two decades. And now once it surfaces, chaos breaks out, violence breaks out. People, really show their true face. It seems that this is not only something we see these days with regards to sexuality or the way we live our relationships, but way beyond that. I mean, you know, the freedom of speech has suffered tremendously, a lot of people say, over the last couple of years. So maybe your film also talks in that direction?
I think it does. It's also, I would say that, again, like creating that kind of it's not, they are still human in the film, but I mean making the that kind of characters also, and giving them space to speak or space to express, it's also kind of giving the freedom of existence, right? It's also speech, or it's or even a body, you know, they existing in the screen, they existing in the story. And I think I always thought that this what we have in this part of the hidden story or something that it's hidden. It's very often the case that until it's not spoken out, or it's there, you know, laid out somewhere, that we know it exists, but we don't talk about this. Somehow it's less problematic, you know, we can live with this. We can just make it, I know Amnon maybe has something, but as it's not said, we can, you know, it's not a danger, but as far it comes up and it, you know, becomes very concrete and we can touch and we can understand, okay, this is reality and it's said, then it becomes kind of the extreme danger. And I think that's the case in a freedom of speech. You know, when we say some stuff and we kind of articulate and we say, that's the problem, that's what is it, that's where I'm kind of oppressed, that's where the humans are, I don't know, they don't have a, you know, right to exist, then when it kind of becomes the, you know, so it creates some kind of, it's dangerous. Truth, it's dangerous, I would say.
Wet Sand is in a very conservative setting with conservative people, and yet it has a lot of, how could I call it, maybe punk elements or some punkish elements, starting from the music up to the jacket that one of your characters, Fleschka, is wearing. As a matter of fact, I see it right behind you right now in your room with that line, follow your fucking dreams, on the back of this jacket. Now, what made you include these elements? Do you bring this background into the movie yourself?
I think it's also like a personal aesthetic, that it's also, I think it's an amazing part in a filmmaking that you can bring anything that you want. You can bring your past, you know, you can bring your, I don't know, teenagehood, everything that, you know, it's kind of made you, and kind of all this aesthetic, how you see the things. And it's also what I like, that in a, this slogan somehow, like this nihilistic, you know, this the punks, somehow it turns out that it turns something very positive in the end. So it's like what I wanted with Fleschka. That also I always thought that does she know what is written on her back? You know, sometimes I think that she doesn't even know. She kind of wears something that it's, you know, you get in a secondhand shop and you just put it on, but you don't know what you carry on your back. And I always thought that it's amazing that she has this something that she's somebody who interiorly, or I don't know how to say it, like that's how she is. She kind of intuitively follows her dreams. And also like that for me, it's also the big slogan for me for the film, that it somehow it comes and appears, but somehow when you read it, it kind of brings you back that, well, it's true, you know, we need to follow something that we believe in. And it's also this nihilistic kind of perspective. I wanted to change it and give it more kind of positive switch, let's say.
So there's a certain kind of radicalism and this conservatism that you show in that film, but also in that liberal or a punkish approach that is also reflected in the soundtrack of the film. As a matter of fact, you have everything in this film, from very traditional like choral singing up to punk music, and it seems that every musical piece also has its place and its right of being there.
Yeah, it's very well said. And also I think that it's interesting that the music wise, that's again like there is so many you can do in a film. And it's also if you find it, you know, there is no proper song for the film, there is no proper song for the scene, but it's again like in construction wise, how you construct the character, how you construct the scene, how you construct the film itself. I mean, you can always get some sonor kind of piece that it's kind of, it's very right in this moment. And I think in all these cases, what we have this traditional, or it's kind of like, you know, I don't know, the R&B or, you know, the songs that we use in a film, there was already like what is interesting that I already had this in mind when I started to write them. So it's kind of with a story, with the characters, they came in a story. They were really lingering on constantly with me. And it was not just like, let's find a song that would kind of put up or kind of underline the scene or emotion. They were already there when we were writing. So that was also, I think it's interesting for me and important that I'm trying not to use the songs just to illustrate something or illustrate a scene and make it more, I don't know, emotional. Or it's also like they have their own independent space in a story. And also like this mixture of the genre, let's say, it's also, again, maybe it's my way of, it's my playlist, you know. When you, I don't know, you, I mean, I put my playlist, sometimes it comes some very beautiful like a church music and suddenly you get the Rammstein that it just comes up afterwards, you know. It's also like a way, I guess, how my kind of playlist, at how I see or how I hear the things.
Let's have a brief look at the outstanding cast. You have professional actors and you have people involved. They're playing major roles, lead roles, who have been in front of a camera for the first time in their life. This might be owed to the budget, I don't know, but it's a fascination about independent film and authoring film that, you know, you don't have this star approach to always include these experienced actors. Tell me a little bit about why did you choose them and, and your experience with them on the set.
First of all, about the non-actors, I really think that personally, it's very interesting for me to work with people that they are first time in front of the camera, because they somehow we build up the character together. It's not that they are, it's really different kind of work. It's you start from zero. They don't know anything about it. They don't know how to move, how to react, how to act, how close they have to stand. And it's super interesting and it's very precise work. You give like a lot kind of, you talk so much with them. You just tell what is it character, what they do, what they eat, what they read. It's kind of like you kind of make the new human with them somehow, like you feed them. And this like gives such a different result in the end that even I'm sometimes really surprised. And this is what I like, that you don't know what is going to come up. It's quite risky, like having someone that it's first time you kind of plays, but acts in a film. But it's very often, I mean, what I experienced, that they give much more what I even could imagine. And this is amazing, which with the actors is very different. With the actors, you have a tools, you have some kind of, you know, how kind of what you can ask, you know, like you can tell them, doc, that's maybe you try to give this emotion. Which with the non-actor, maybe emotion, technically it's not going to work. You need to go deeper to kind of find something that it triggers them or that moves them or gives them, I don't know, some feeling or some sensation out to make them understand what they have to do. And for Amnon, it was very important for me that I would get someone who never acted, because it's also, as you said, this, I mean, also Georgia, it's not a huge country. We don't have like the stars, let's say, but already like for me, it's it was a new person in a screen. I don't know, it was a character that I've never seen before, and I didn't want to have someone that I've seen in other films. They were kind of, it's a bad word to say, but consumed in a way that they are kind of artistic or kind of acting tools. And with Amnon, it was very important that there was someone who was closer to the character from inside, and not like how they looked or what they did, you know, I mean, that they were stars or they were kind of famous. And I think that it was very different, difficult to find him. Also, like a Moe, she's also a non actor, and it was quite interesting to work with her, because it's there are two main kind of leading roles, and it was very interesting how the dynamic was changing. Also on a set, how much time we would spend with two of them than with the others, right? Who are like actors. With actors, it was kind of more, you know, there were kind of technical stuff that you would say, maybe you can make it better, you can give like a nuances of this, and which it's like with two of them, it was not the same, but it was constantly surprising and constantly bringing very, very interesting results. And I really like very much to, in other films also, to work with people that they are, they experience something similar in their lives, and how they can bring this on a screen, because it gives very interesting something. It's very, very, very deep. Of course, depends on the role, depends on this film, but I always try to first to go with the non-actors, and if in case there is some stuff that we, you know, I cannot find, after I go back to the actors.
Now let's talk about the movie character Amnon, who in this film is the surviving partner of Eliko. Amnon is played by Gia Agumava, who is not an actor. As a matter of fact, that was his first ever part in film. Actually, Gia teaches Old Latin at the Tbilisi State Medical University. And he has won the Best Actor Prize in Locarno for his starring role in the movie. Now that is pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it was very surprising. I think that for him, he always wanted to be an actor. And he, like, when I met him, it's like we talked about about Georgian cinema, and he said that it was his dream, and if it would come true, he's 66 years old, and he said maybe, you know, you never know. Basically, like, he followed his dream, let's say it. And, you know, when we started to shoot, it was already, like, this constantly, like, yeah, he couldn't really believe that he's in a set, and he's kind of taking part in a film. And after, of course, this Locarno Prize was just, I don't know, he couldn't believe. I can imagine it was very, very like overwhelming for him.
How do you as a film director deal with the fact that your film, your child, your product is finished? It's out in the world. You cannot change it anymore. I mean, it seems like perhaps after watching it and after getting feedback, you would think, well, maybe I could change here a little bit, or I should have done this differently. Is it easy to finish a film and let it go and enter into the world?
I think I don't have like a extremely big experience, but I think for this one, I found it very interesting that when it's finished, it's finished. And that's also part of the filmmaking, and that's also part of the, it's actually everything, like from the beginning, it's a choice. When you write, you make a choice, you choose like what to tell, you choose like what this or that character says. When you make an edit, and when you film, like when you're on a set, it's constantly like a choosing, it's you're constantly in a kind of state of mind that you have to make a choice. And it's the same with the editing, you know, when you edit, you know, like you have 10 different takes and you have to choose one. And when you choose one, that's it, you know, and especially when you lock the cut and you don't know, like, you know, that you cannot change anything. It's better to let it go, because that's also this. There are some defaults, or there are some stuff that doesn't work. There are things that you could always make it better, especially when you take a distance and after 2 months that you watch a film, you can think that, well, that could be done differently. But I think that it's What is fascinating also in the process that when you let it be and let it, okay, you know, it's as you said, it's a child, and the child has his or her own life. And I would like to that you are behaving that way, because I think that it's better. It's also, I don't want, it's a film. It has his own life, and we will see how I don't have this feeling so far that I would change something in it. Not because that it's, I think that it's amazing. It's not because of this. It's just in this moment when I made a choice, there was some kind of, I knew why I was making it. So I rather let it go and just for the next one, maybe I can make differently. So that's also kind of growing up process and learning, or also making the mistakes, which is also very charming in a process.
Elena, how does one become a film director?
I was quite connected to the art. I would say I was painting from the very, very beginning. I don't know, it's somehow like what I heard here, that I was always drawing and painting. After I studied monumental painting, this like a wall painting in Georgia. After I came here, I did my master, which was more theoretical. And afterwards, sincerely, I really wanted to, I didn't want to go back. I didn't want to go back to Georgia, and it was too quick that I finished my studies, and I knew that I didn't want to just go back to that, what I ran away from. And I was thinking that what is the closest to me, what I would like to do. And I thought, why not trying the filmmaking, which was cinema was also part from the very beginning. Somehow it saved me in a teenagehood. I was depressed and I was just watching the films. And in watching the films, it kind of gave me a lot of, you know, I was always fascinated that there was a 2 hours or 3 hours I could just, you know, get out from this reality, let's say, this heaviness, what I was carrying in this, I don't know, 14 years old Elena who was not feeling happy. This cinema could make her happy sometimes, you know. And it was such a, I think it really gave me a lot of tools in a life to, you know, just to move on. And when I kind of confronted the situation that either I have to go back or I have to do something else, and I need to kind of keep my permit, you know, so I said, why not trying filmmaking, something that it's very complex, and let's try. If it works, it works, because it's, there is everything that I can put anything, you know, my paintings, I don't know, songs and sounds, everything that what is around me. So I started, and it built it up and it came to here. And I'm very grateful that I still have a passion to do this. But it was not like, the dream from my childhood that let's make a cinema. But somehow it's a very organic way how I arrived here, because it's so broad and it has so many domains and things that mediums that you can put inside that. I find it very, very interesting. And it's a very long process also, and it's a very disciplined process. And it's kind of like a training it's a constant training.
What are your plans for the future? Of course, now you're probably going to take the film on tour, Wet Sands, going to show it around.
I hope that we're going to have another festivals. So far, I don't know what is going to come up. And otherwise, I'm working on two projects. And one, it's going to be like a more, I'm planning to shoot next summer. Already it's a story also takes place in Georgia, in a little village. It's a book adaptation by Georgian feminist writer. So it's also kind of queer story, but not queer, not in kind of sense of the queer love, but queer in terms of like a perspective that it's kind of different kind of love story about a 50 years old woman who kind of loves first time in her life, finds the love in this tiny village. And another one, it's a story of Saint Nino. She was the woman who enlightened Georgia in the 4th century. So I want to reappropriate her story and just write it and tell it in a different way, more kind of feminist perspective. So that's two projects I'm working on right now.
How did you enjoy Locarno Film Festival? How would you describe the festival?
I would say that all the festivals, it's definitely, they have their own characters and they are very different. And always the first festival you screen your film, it's somehow very memorable. And I'm very glad that we had this opportunity to screen the film in Locarno. And especially we had almost half team with us. And, half of the crew was with us from Georgia, which was also a very important moment to share with them. And, I hope that we will have also chances to go back at some point, with other films.
I thank you very much for being on this podcast. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Congratulations again on this fantastic film, Wet Sand. And we're looking forward to more projects like this.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Art of Molecule Podcast.